So good afternoon. For the last session on Thursday afternoon, we're going to talk about Windows 10 management, just really the overall manageability features that we're planning to put into the Windows 10 operating system and enhancements that we're planning to make for existing capabilities. This is a repeat session of one that I did yesterday, so hopefully you're not in this same session again, because either that means you really, really want to learn, which is weird, or you didn't understand what I had to say the last time and you've come back to try again. So the main thing that we want to talk about really is how we're positioning manageability with Windows 10. And we kind of have this theme that we're working on, which is around choice. I mean, we've been working on Windows manageability features for an eternity. I mean, going back 20 years when we initially started adding these enterprise management capabilities into the OS, where state-of-the-art 20 years ago was login scripts, things have progressed a long way since then to make sure that Windows has all of the management features that businesses need to use Windows as kind of the core part of their enterprise environment. But things continue to change. We have lots of changing business needs, and as a result, we're planning to evolve the management capabilities in the OS as well to offer more choices to meet these changing business needs. If we were to just say, well, what we've got in there is good enough, eventually over time, well, we kind of lose relevance. So we're trying to add in the capabilities to make sure that we can handle the traditional enterprise features, enterprise requirements that we've always done, but at the same time branch out from there. These evolving enterprise requirements really reflect kind of the changing environment that we're all working in. It used to just be that we would have PCs that were sitting on our desks that never left the office. We worked from 9 to 5. We didn't ever take a machine and take it home or roam around the world or work from coffee shops or have Wi-Fi access in every single fast food restaurant we go into. So we've certainly gotten into this more mobile first way of working. So we know that we need to be able to support Windows in that type of an environment. So what can we do to make sure that the traditional, which we call recent past, but basically the current environment continues to be fully supported and works just fine. But at the same time, we can support these new ways of working as well. So we've built in a variety of features in Windows related to the management of the OS. Things like Windows Management Instrumentation, which has been around for quite a while, Windows Remote Management, Windows Update, Group Policy. All of those are still there. We'll continue to make incremental enhancements to those. We've also got PowerShell, which has been growing extremely rapidly as we add more scriptable PowerShell commandlets to allow you to control all different types of things inside of Windows. Certainly, you'll see a lot more growth of PowerShell in Windows 10, which we've started talking about in some of the other PowerShell sessions, so we don't need to get into a whole lot of depth around that in this session. Where we will talk a little bit more is on the mobile device management side as we continue to invest in there. But first, let's kind of build up the stack from there, because it's not just about what's in the client. It also involves what's on the server. So we've got Windows Server with Active Directory, the group policy server-side pieces, and Windows Server Update services for patching. And then built on top of that, we have products like System Center Configuration Manager and the Microsoft Desktop Optimization Pack. So this has kind of been the high-level stack of the management features that we've had for Windows. Now as we move more into this mobile cloud era, we add in another set of services that continue to provide more capabilities to the Windows client. Things like Azure Active Directory, Azure Rights Management, Microsoft Intune for mobile device management, Office 365. All of these cloud services now are used by Windows client machines and non-Windows machines as well to provide the necessary functionality for the client. So that means we have choices in a variety of areas, and we'll try to walk through all of these, but basically, We have choices for identity. We can use Active Directory, or we can use Azure Active Directory. So the addition of Azure Active Directory will be new in Windows 10 to make sure that we can log in directly with an Azure Active Directory account and not even need a on-prem domain controller to do that type of thing. We can do device management the traditional way using Group Policy, Config Manager, or some other third-party management tool, or we can do mobile device management using Windows Intune or the third-party tools like AirWatch, MobileIron, and Citrix. In the past, we've provided more of that functionality really for the BYOD scenarios because we added MDM support in Windows 8.1. But the types of things that you could control, the types of management you could perform, really was focused on those BYOD scenarios. We know we need to branch out beyond that, so we want to support the corporate-owned devices as well, and also adding some capabilities around choose-your-own-device scenarios, too. That's more of a deployment discussion. I've got a repeat of the deployment session tomorrow talking about deploying devices in a choose-your-own world, as well as upgrading existing devices to Windows 10. But in this one, we'll focus more on the management side. So, for identity, today we have Active Directory, which provides probably most of your identity and security in your environments today. With Azure Active Directory, we're taking that functionality and putting it into the cloud. That doesn't mean this is necessarily an either-or thing, because they work together. You can synchronize between the two, and as a result, be able to leverage a variety of scenarios where these are working together to give you single sign-on to a variety of different services. Windows 10 will fully embrace both of these. We can join a Windows 10 device into Active Directory and log in with AD accounts. We can join a machine into Azure Active Directory and log in with AAD accounts. And we get the hybrid scenarios as well, where you get single sign-on from one to the other. So we end up with a few different scenarios. We've got the organizationally owned devices as well as the personally owned devices. For organization-owned devices, they join Active Directory or Azure AD. You generally don't join personal devices into these types of environments. There is a mechanism where you can trust these personal devices by using the workplace join capabilities that we added in Windows 8 and 8.1. Those are extended now with Windows 10 to also support doing a workplace join to Azure AD directly. But that's basically to allow you to say, I know about this device. This device is personally owned. I give it a certain amount of trust to allow the person using it to access secure corporate resources. So personally owned devices, you can register the device to allow access to resources. You can do lightweight management of those using Intune and MDM, using that BYOD style capabilities that we have in Windows 8.1, which will be enhanced some in Windows 10, but really more of the focus is on the corporate owned side. If we have a machine joined into Active Directory, it gets managed using Group Policy plus System Center Configuration Manager, all the capabilities that you have today. If you have a machine that joins into AAD for the cloud-based support, you're probably not going to manage that using System Center. You're not going to have Group Policy as an option in that case because AAD doesn't implement the Group Policy pieces. Instead, you're going to use a mobile device management solution. So as part of that join process where you join a machine into Azure AD, you can automate the enrollment process into an MDM service. Whether that's Intune or a third-party service doesn't really matter. Basically, you can configure AAD to say, as part of the join, please join the same machine into the MDM service so the join and the manageability are tied together and happen at the same time. Now, we kind of talk about that still as an either-or, but it's not an either-or. You can set up synchronization, and in fact, we would recommend that you do set up synchronization between Active Directory and Azure AD, so that a machine that's joined into Active Directory gets transparent access to cloud-based services. A machine that's joined into Azure Active Directory gets transparent access through gateways, a web application proxy, or some additional application publishing capabilities in Azure, so that these machines can get to corporate resources, even internal ones, with a fair amount of ease. All of these single sign-on capabilities are because Windows understands the links between AD and AAD accounts, and in fact will automate those links. So as soon as you log in with an AD account, it can detect that there's an equivalent AAD account in the cloud and associate those two accounts together. On the personal side, basically you would still log in with a Microsoft account or a local account on the machine, but then you can associate a work account to that account. So basically you establish that link, similar to what you would do today in AD to add a Microsoft account to the Active Directory account that you're logging into. But you get the same benefits there as well. If you have your own Microsoft account that you're logging into your own device with, and then you associate a work device, a work account to it, an AAD account to it, you get automatic sign-in into those cloud services like Office 365. So the days today, if you're an Office 365 user, you've probably seen instances where you launch Outlook and it will prompt you for your credentials again. You log in with an AD account, and now it's going to prompt you for an AAD account. We can get rid of all of those additional prompts by having these two tied together and having Windows understand that they are effectively one and the same. So the basic setup that we're suggesting is you have an existing Windows Server Active Directory on your network internally. You set up synchronization of that with Azure Active Directory in the cloud. Your devices can talk directly to Azure Active Directory, or they can continue to be joined into Active Directory. Either way, they understand the links between the two and enable single sign-on with Office 365 and Windows Intune. But we're throwing in one more item here that we haven't really talked about yet, the Windows Store. With Windows 8 and Windows 8.1, the Windows Store tended to be a bit of a challenge inside of enterprise organizations. Because you could only use it with a Microsoft account, you could only buy things with a credit card, and the apps that you purchased effectively belonged to the user. They didn't belong to the organization. That was less than ideal for most organizations, so we've set out to fix that in Windows 10. In order to fix that, we know that we need to enable a way for an organization identity to log in to the Windows Store. Azure Active Directory is that organizational identity. So to get the benefits out of the Windows Store that we're implementing, and we'll talk about in a little bit, we need to have AAD in place. So even if you're not using Office 365, even if you're not using now Microsoft Intune, you probably want to have Azure AD in place to be able to leverage the business software portal, the new program that we're implementing for acquiring apps for organization use. We'll get into that a little bit more as we get deeper into this, but first we want to spend a little bit more time looking at Azure Active Directory, and probably the best way of doing that is really just showing you what it looks like for two different scenarios. So first let me log into my machine here. Unlock again. So I have an Active Directory domain controller here. It has a variety of accounts set up in it. It's a much smaller Active Directory than I'm sure most of you are running, but if I wanted to enable some of these capabilities, if I wanted to use Intune, if I wanted to use Office 365, if I wanted to use the volume capabilities in the business software portal, I need to synchronize this directory with the cloud. So in order to do that, the easiest way for me to do this is to have an Azure subscription. Now, basically, an Azure subscription doesn't cost anything. You just sign up for Azure, and the billing for Azure assumes that, well, basically it's the premise is that you pay for what you use. But that's primarily for websites and virtual machines and those types of things. When we're talking about Azure Active Directory, the directories themselves are free. I mean, there is a basic Azure Active Directory free version that you can sign up for that involves no cost. So I've got my directory set up here. I've never provided Azure with a credit card to charge me for anything. I just have this directory that I can use. So I created a directory that matches my AD on-prem domain controller. And I've got one account that I've created manually in here, this AAD admin. The Azure account's actually owned by a Microsoft account, so I've logged in with that Microsoft account to administer it. Now I just need to link the two of them together. What's one thing that we showed during the keynote was exactly how to do that. Basically, you need the Azure Active Directory Sync Services program, also called AAD Sync. You need to download that, which I've already done and installed it. And the next step then is to first minimize that window, is to run through a wizard that allows me to connect AD to AAD. So as part of that wizard, it's going to ask me for accounts on both sides. So give me an administrative account in Azure Active Directory so that it has the rights to create additional entries in AAD, and then it'll ask the same thing for my local Active Directory. So I've got my AAD admin account. Which is an administrator of my AAD domain. Apparently I can't type. What did I call it again? Niehaus Online. Yeah. Niehaus Family was already taken, so I had to use a different name. What are the odds? All right, put in the right account and the right password. Now it authenticates me with Azure Active Directory and asks me for my local AD information. I can add the forest here. It's validated that. It wants to know, well, how should I match up users? The defaults are probably okay. And then I can choose what options I want. Now, I can do this in one of two ways. I can tell AD to synchronize the passwords into AAD, basically the password hashes, so that AAD can authenticate these users without having to reach back into my network and say, is this user valid or not? That's really simple to do. So I can do that in this case just to make things easy. But for organizations that are more concerned about storing password hashes in the cloud, instead you would use Active Directory Federation Services, ADFS, and set up an on-site server to authenticate the users so that the cloud doesn't have to store the details. So anytime I would try to log into an AAD service, like Office 365, Intune, or the Windows Store, it would redirect those login requests to a server that you control. That would validate the password and then tell Azure AD that it's okay for that user to go ahead and access that service. We've also added the ability to do password write-back. So if you have a user who's using AAD and they change their password through AAD, you can have that be pushed back into AD. So it can be bi-directional as well. I'll just keep it simple here and say we'll do password synchronization. The AD password hash will be synchronized into the cloud. The AD password will be considered primary. So the user uses the same password regardless of which side they're connecting from. I then make the connection between the two. Basically, it sets up a recurring synchronization schedule on the machine that I'm running this on. It will periodically look for changes in Active Directory and push those up into the cloud. See how long it takes to complete that. So it's connected the two. Updating the rules, enabling password synchronization, and then it should begin the synchronization process. Initially, when Azure Active Directory came out and people started using Office 365, this was much more difficult to do to get all this set up, but it's pretty simple now, so that when we click Finish with Synchronize Now, it'll begin to copy the accounts into the cloud. And it might take a few minutes for it to get that far, but we can eventually refresh this list and hopefully see some new accounts. Refresh. Nothing there yet. We can come back and check on it in a couple of minutes, but it shouldn't take too long. Generally, it's about 30 to 45 seconds before the users start to show up in the directory. And there they are. So obviously, if you have a bigger directory, the initial synchronization takes a lot longer, but it's a fairly efficient process to just transfer the accounts into the AAD tenant. Now, it's not transferring all the details for these accounts. Basically, it's using the username. It uses the name, first name, last name, a few other attributes. So it's not your entire directory. It's just taking key attributes that identify the user and copying those into AAD. So once you've got that set up, then you can use any AAD service, whether that be Office 365 or Windows Store, or even the ability to join the computer into the cloud. So I already have a machine here that is joined into AAD. And this has got to be the most boring demo ever. You can log in with an AAD account. Woohoo, I can log in. But we had to show it anyway, just to confirm to you that, yeah, we do have this working. It's not in the current builds, but it will be in the next couple of months to allow you to start experimenting with this. So I logged in with my AAD account. If you want some proof of that, let me bring up a command prompt. And if I look at the environment variables, there are a few that give this away. One is logon server. So it's telling me that I logged on using a domain controller called Azure AD. Obviously, that's not the name of my local server. And it says the user domain is Azure AD. So nothing special about it. Windows natively understands that this is an AAD account. We still have some details to work out on the actual join process and what that'll look like in the UI and how that works during the initial first run experience in Windows. So we're working through the details of that, but once the machine is joined into AAD, logging in with an AAD account is just as boring as logging in with an AD account. It just works, and that's really the expectation. Now behind the scenes, logging in with the AD account, the association with the AAD account, really the bi-directional recognition of one another, enables the single sign-on with the additional services. There will be some other tweaks necessary with the services to understand these links as well to fully enable those single sign-ons, but all of that will be done by the time Windows 10 is released. So AAD is really key for a variety of scenarios, most important of which we'll talk about in a little bit with the Windows Store. Joining computers into AADs, fairly easy. Logging in with AAD accounts certainly can be done. We wouldn't expect that to be something you do for 100% of your machines. I mean, we really want to go back to that idea of choice. that you would have different groups of machines configured differently depending on how they're being used. So maybe you have a group of salespeople that are traveling around the world all the time. They may be good candidates for using Azure Active Directory and just talking to the cloud. But if you've got a call center where people come into the office, sit down in front of a computer and work all day long and then leave and go back home again and never touch a computer until the next day, they're probably more likely a candidate for the traditional Active Directory-based machines managed using group policy, managed using System Center. So each group of people may be treated differently. You could choose to do 100% Active Directory. You could choose to do 100% AAD. We're not really going to say there's a right or a wrong answer. You're going to work that out just based on the scenarios that you need to support. So that's the identity side. Let's talk a little bit more about the management itself. One of the things we want to make sure of is as we move toward Windows 10, when we release it, you shouldn't have to upgrade your entire infrastructure to support a new client OS. We want to make sure that your existing infrastructure will work fine. So Active Directory servers, configuration manager servers, deployment tools, all of those should fully support Windows 10 without any real significant upgrades to them. Doesn't mean that we won't have any updates to them. There may be hot fixes or cumulative updates or something like that that needs to be applied to fully support the Windows 10 functionality, but we're not going to require any version upgrades of these tools in order to support Windows 10. We'll also work to advance the MDM capabilities, really to support those corporate-owned devices. We'll provide consistent capabilities across PC and mobile devices so that we'll have the same capabilities for phone devices as we have for the desktop devices. And we'll make sure that we have full support for MDM for not only Intune, but also for all of these third-party solutions that want to be able to support it as well. It's fully documented. It's a public protocol. It's an industry standard based on the OMA-DM protocols that have been used for mobile device management on a variety of different operating systems, so we're nothing different from that perspective. So when we talk about existing infrastructure, if you've got Configuration Manager 2012 R2, it'll fully support managing Windows 10 clients and deploying Windows 10. Same goes for System Center 2012 Configuration Manager, which was the previous version before that. Configuration Manager 2007, if you're still running that, it will support managing Windows 10, but not deploying, which really is no different than today. Configuration Manager 2007 today supports deploying Windows 7, but it doesn't support deploying Windows 8 or Windows 8.1. So this really continues that theme. From an Active Directory perspective or a file server perspective, any version of Windows that's still supported works fine with Windows 10, so you don't need to upgrade any of your domain controllers or anything like that. That's not to say that there won't be some Windows 10 features where to use that feature you may need to upgrade one or more servers in your infrastructure, but just the core Windows 10 functionality will work fine with your existing Active Directory with no changes. And then lastly, the Microsoft Deployment Toolkit, if you're using that to do operating system deployment, that will support Windows 10 as well, probably with an additional update added just so that it understands the new assessment and deployment kit, which will be released with Windows 10. We'll talk more about the deployment side of that in the session tomorrow, but from a manageability perspective, all your existing versions will work just fine until you get into some of these new OS features where there may be one or more component upgrades that are necessary. So when we talk about managing devices then, we've kind of built this continuum of options. If you want to just be able to enable access to email, Exchange Active Sync is a very basic management tool where you can apply certain security settings to a device before it can get its email. It's been around for ages. When we implemented the mobile device management capabilities in Windows 8.1, they were primarily to focus on BYOD scenarios, especially on the desktop side. For Windows Phone, we went a little bit further. We provided some corporate manageability controls in Windows Phone 8.1, so the phone implementation of mobile device management is actually a little bit more capable than what's in the desktop version right now. But most people would use the fully managed corporate device using Active Directory Group Policy and System Center to manage those. As we move forward to Windows 10, we want to continue to support Active Directory Group Policy and System Center. So the box shrunk, but that's not because we're deprecating or reducing any of that functionality. It's just to allow the mobile device management bar to stretch out farther. We're going to add additional mobile device management capabilities, specifically around managing these corporate devices, so that you could then choose. We're not going to provide 100% of the capabilities of Group Policy and System Center with mobile device management. We're going to provide the key functionality, the key settings, the key capabilities that you need. It's about lighter weight management. MDM is not supposed to be this heavyweight solution. It's supposed to be something lightweight, something managed from the cloud, something that's really requires no infrastructure on your part. Everything is cloud-based. So we'll enable that. We'll provide more controls, more features in a variety of different areas so that we can extend the functionality to give you that level of business control that you would want for a corporate device. I mean, the types of things that we're looking at really cover the whole life cycle of an MDM client, from enrollment all the way through the disposal process at the end. We want to enable simple bootstrapping, which we talked about a little bit in the context of AAD, so that when you AAD join a particular machine, it automatically enrolls an MDM at the same time. We want to enable bulk provisioning, which is very closely associated with that AAD process that we just talked about. We'll extend the inventory capabilities. We'll provide more capabilities around the new Windows 10 features that we're adding, like the business software portal to do automated software deployments via MDM. We'll add support for the enterprise data protection capabilities, which were covered in the security session, to fully configure a Windows 10 device to protect the enterprise data that's been placed on it. We'll provide additional wipe capabilities, pin reset capabilities. We'll improve the unenrollment process, just a whole laundry list of things that we're planning to do with MDM to bulk up those capabilities for enterprise-owned devices. This then kind of fits back into the System Center vision, and you've probably seen this if you've gone to any of the System Center sessions, but they've been working on this idea that you're going to have devices that are being managed in different ways. You're going to have some devices that are fully managed using Active Directory, Group Policy, and System Center. You're also going to have some devices that are BYOD, and you're going to have some devices managed from the cloud using Azure Active Directory and Windows Intune. But that doesn't mean you need to administer two different solutions. Instead, we can link those two together so that you do all of your administration from one place to manage both populations of users. So imagine that you wanted to deploy an app. You would add the application into Config Manager. You would publish it to the Config Manager distribution points as well as to the Intune cloud to make it available to both populations of users. There's no extra work required that says, well, I first need to do this in Config Manager and then I need to repeat the same process in Intune. This is what industry analysts have been saying is kind of the natural evolution, that the desktop management tools like Config Manager have been around for a long time and they haven't really changed that much over the past few years, which provided an opportunity for MDM services to implement something new, something lightweight, something that you could run from the cloud without the infrastructure requirements of something like System Center. But over time, they see these as converging back together, that the traditional management tools start to provide mobile device management capabilities so that you can enable these single pane of glass administrative experiences. So that's where we're heading. That's where we expect everything to eventually end up. where we have Configuration Manager managing the traditional PCs, the on-premises devices, the ones that are always connected to your corporate network, and Intune manages the mobile devices that might be joined into Azure Active Directory and are using Intune. The other nice thing is at the same time, you can manage iOS and Android devices the same way, since they implement the same mobile device management features. So you can actually then manage every type of device using that same single administrative console for all the operating systems in your particular environment. So that's the management vision. Basically, we're focusing on extending the MDM capabilities while still supporting the traditional. So we can have these choices on how you manage these devices, how you log into the devices. Let's shift then to talk a little bit more about the App Store. With Windows 8.1, it was less than ideal. You needed to log in with a Microsoft account. You had to use a personal credit card. There was no license management. There was no way for you to download the installation files for apps so that you could add them into your image or deploy them using your own tools. Just a variety of limitations that we've been working to address in Windows 10. To do that, we'll create a new volume purchasing program, a volume purchasing portal, and allow more flexible distribution options. We want you to be able to download the install files. We want you to be able to deploy them using MDM. We want you to be able to deploy them using Config Manager. We want you to put them in your images. So all of those scenarios are things that we should enable. At the same time, we can provide the ability for you to create your own category, your own organizational catalog inside of the public Windows Store, so that if you want to, you can say, I don't even want any infrastructure of my own to make these apps available to my employees. Instead, I can just leverage the Windows Store cloud services to expose those to my employees directly. They would log in using that Azure Active Directory account that we talked about before. As a result of using that organizational identity, they can see the apps that you've made available to users in the organization. So today, Windows Store, Modern App, sign in with MSA, pay with a credit card. You could also implement your own enterprise app store, or call it a company portal if you want. Basically running the infrastructure yourself with Intune or Configuration Manager or AirWatch or something similar. That basically would require using sideloading. Sideloading requires that you have the installation files for those apps, which is great if they're apps that you've written yourself, but for third-party apps, that was a bit of a challenge. You could link to apps that were in the Windows Store. For example, maybe you wanted to make the modern Link client or Evernote or something like that available to your employees. You could put a link in this private store, but when you click the link, it would still launch the Windows Store client, still make you log in with a Microsoft account, and still make the user get out a credit card and swipe it before they complete the purchase. So that's what we needed to work on. We also needed to converge the different stores that we had out there. We had different stores for Windows, different stores for Windows Phone, even for Xbox and other platforms. We're merging all of those together, taking the best features from each and adding new capabilities at the same time. But we'll end up with one Windows 10 store with universal applications that can be used across all these different types of devices. At the same time, we'll add more ways to pay. Doing it using a credit card is not terribly convenient. We've also had options like PayPal or Alipay or other mobile operator billing options for phone devices. We'll add the ability to do purchase orders and invoices and bill through your existing EA or volume license agreements. So all of that's coming. That gets us into this vision of tomorrow where we still have the Windows Store and all those consumer experiences that you see today. But now we can get to an enterprise scenario where we're leveraging the Windows Store plus a business software portal, or BSP, to provide these features that organizations have been asking for. So you can create your own org store. Basically, that allows you the private category that I talked about a little bit ago. You can sign in with a Microsoft account to get public apps, or you can sign in with an AAD account to acquire organization apps. If you link these two apps together. So maybe you log in with an AAD account and attach an MSA. Basically, you're logging in with both at the same time. If you log in with an AD account, it automatically has an AAD account associated with it. As a result, you would automatically have single sign-in into the store. So having those two different identities and being able to request apps on either one really enables you to have a device that's used both for personal use as well as company use. Now, if you don't want that, you could, of course, disable one or the other and just use the AAD-based identity to install company-based apps, or just use an MSA and say, well, you're allowed to do whatever personal apps you want, but we're not going to make any company apps available. Pay with credit card, pay with purchase order, pay with an invoice. We can also do business-to-business transactions. So maybe you acquire an app through another ISV, and it's not a public app in the Windows Store. Maybe they've developed it specifically for you. They can add it into the Windows Store as a private app and say, make this available to this other organization. It would then show up for you so that you could deploy it to your users using whatever mechanism you want. You could also add your own apps into the store. So your own developed line of business apps, you could upload into the business software portal and then publish those in the same way out to your users so that when they access the store using an Azure Active Directory account, they would see the apps that you've published and select them for installation. We'll also provide license management. So as each of these apps are installed, a license would be consumed from the Windows Store. The Windows Store keeps track of who's got what and would allow you to see a list of all the people that have licenses and also to revoke licenses. So maybe a person leaves the company or is no longer using the software. You can reclaim that app license and give it to someone else, making it available again. We also have additional options for downloading the install files so that you can add them into your images, so that you can push them out using your enterprise app store, or even push them out yourself using a mobile device management solution. In that company portal enterprise app store world, you could say, well, I'm just going to do sideloading for everything. I'm going to use the BSP, I'm going to acquire licenses, I'm going to download the install files, and I'm going to push it out myself. That's fine. But you could also leverage an MDM solution or configuration manager or any tools like that to instead just tell the store what to install. So you could establish a deep link like you could in the past, but now the deep links wouldn't require logging in with a Microsoft account, wouldn't require their own personal credit card, wouldn't require clicking the install button, doesn't even require that the Windows Store be enabled. So you could turn off the Windows Store and still have Config Manager or an MDM solution say, please install this app on this machine. Go do it. So we can leverage the integration between the two, enabling the business software portal to be automated using a management tool of your choice. So we think we've got pretty much all the scenarios covered, that we want to be able to provide flexible deployment mechanisms. When we talk about online, we're talking about machines that are internet connected. When we talk about offline, those are machines that just have no way of getting to the internet. Call it a man in the cave scenario, submarine scenario. If you're a secure environment where you don't allow access to the internet, we need to make sure that will work as well. We can put them into your own custom images. We can deploy them through the store using the private catalog and AAD, like we talked about. We can deploy them using a mobile device management solution or using an on-prem system center solution. We can do line of business apps. We can do B2B apps. We're designing this so it can support any type of organization, from the largest enterprises on down to even conceivably, I could use my Azure Active Directory account that I created for my family and use it to bulk acquire for all four of us. So it can be used for any size organization. There's no real requirement that it's even a business to set this up. It's just a simple sign-up process for the business software portal before you can acquire apps, manage licenses, download install files, go from there. We'll simplify things overall with one store for all the different platforms, one volume purchase program through this business software portal. We'll have the ability to deploy these universal apps, And we will be working on the side loading processes, basically because we have some differences right now between the way it works for Windows 8.1 and Windows Phone 8.1. We want to reconcile that so that we end up with the same side loading process on both platforms. So let's talk a little bit more then about these scenarios. We talked about the ability to do all of these different scenarios, but they kind of all get jumbled together after a while. So we thought it would be useful to walk through a few of them in a more step-by-step way. So let's focus initially on the scenario where you just want to run everything from the cloud. So we can avoid the need for any on-prem infrastructure. We have our Azure Active Directory in place. We don't have to use that for every user, but we do need to have AAD in place for at least the administrator so that they can log in. They log into the business software portal. They acquire the apps that the organization wants to use, which could be free apps or purchased apps. They can pay for those with a credit card or a purchase order or an invoice, and then create the enterprise organization store. They add their apps that they want to that. Now any user that goes into the Windows Store and signs in with an account that's either an AAD account or linked to an AAD account would see those applications and be able to install them. So the end user then logs in, they see the apps, they click on them, they install, everything works just fine. They could still use an MSA to acquire apps from the public categories for the non-business related apps, but you could turn that off via policy if you didn't want that. The basic user experience from the IT pros perspective is that they would go to the volume purchase portal, which will now be called the business software portal. They'll sign in with an AAD account and see all the applications that are available. They select a particular application that they want from any of the existing categories. They specify how many copies they want, pay for those copies using the standard shopping cart-based process, and then the apps are available in the inventory. So we can see that we acquired 52 copies of Evernote. We can now deploy those by either directly saying we want to assign these licenses to users. If we do that, they'll get an email saying click here to install this application. Or we can change the slider at the end to say make this available in the company store, in that organizational catalog where the user could log into the Windows Store with their AAD account and see those. If we were doing this using a mobile device management solution, it might look a little different. The IT administrator still signs in and acquires the apps that they want, but then they switch over to the mobile device management console, the web page, the authoring, or the management tool, whatever it's used for that particular MDM solution, and link to that business software portal application. So then the end user would use the available mobile device management app store, company portal in the case of Windows Intune, to select from the available apps and install them using the MDM service to tell the business software portal to install it and to acquire a license for that application so that we can keep track of who's using what. Typically, this is cloud-based. It doesn't have to be cloud-based. It could be an on-prem MDM implementation. Some of the vendors provide those. Windows Intune at this point is always cloud-based. The apps, when they get installed, are always updated using the Windows Store. So as new updates are released, the existing installs are automatically updated as well. And there's no requirement that the Windows Store be enabled for this. There's an option, kind of like you have today with the Windows 8.1, where you can say turn off the store UI for the user, but you still enable these mobile device management scenarios. All of them work just fine. In an imaging scenario, same basic steps, sign into the portal, acquire the apps you want. Now, though, you can download the installation files for that particular application and then maybe add them into your existing enterprise golden image. There'll be DISM and PowerShell commands to place those apps into the image so that when that image is deployed, the user logs in, the app installs automatically, it acquires a license from the store, although there are some offline use case scenarios where it doesn't need to acquire an app from the a license from the store, and then the user is up and running with those apps without ever having to go to the Windows Store in the first place. If we do this using Config Manager, exactly the same process as before. If you wanted to put apps into the image, where we log in, we acquire the apps, we download the install files, but now we just put them into Config Manager along with the necessary commands to say, please install this app. That can be a pull-based model where you're using the company portal to enable the user to self-select those, or it can be a push model where you push those out to groups of machines. If it's a pull model, the user logs in, they launch the company portal, they select the app, it installs using Config Manager. Lastly, license management. For any of those other scenarios where you've installed an app and it acquires a license, you can go out to the portal, sign in, and see all those assigned licenses, everything that you purchased and everything that's been used. You could then choose to revoke a license, and the user who might still be using that app, the next time they launch it, they would see an error saying that the license is no longer available to them. It doesn't happen immediately because the machine isn't checking very frequently to see if the license is still valid, but it checks maybe once a day to see if that license is still valid, and it will eventually notice that it's not and no longer allow the app to be launched. The basic process that you would go through, you can see in the portal, here's the list of all the licenses and who they've been assigned to. You can differentiate between the ones that you've assigned directly to users versus the ones that have been installed via the Windows Store using that organizational catalog, that private store within a store. You could just select whichever one you wanted to remove and click on the Revoke Licenses button and it will take care of it from there. So very simple license management capabilities. Now imagine you're a very large organization and you have a lot of licenses, maybe 10,000 licenses acquired. You're probably not going to want to use a list to go through and try to find out, oh, there it is, it's on page 755. So instead, you could integrate a mobile device management solution with the business software portal and delegate the management of licenses to the MDM solution on the assumption that the MDM provider could provide the additional capabilities around license management, where we're just trying to provide something that's nice and simple for the administrator who's logging in to manage this. So all of it can be managed, all of it can be controlled using mobile device management. We provide the APIs, the interfaces for an MDM solution to do these license management tasks. So basically, to summarize all of that, we have a variety of investments that we're making. We're creating this business software portal, which enables most of the scenarios we talked about to acquire apps, to manage licenses, and to download the app files. You can also upload your own apps. You can also get the business-to-business app distribution support, so your ISVs can send you apps. We can pay with additional mechanisms compared to what we can do today, adding in invoicing and purchase order support. We'll still have credit cards around. We'll still have the other mobile operator and PayPal and Alipay capabilities, so none of those are going anywhere. We have full management support using a mobile device management solution, Intune, AirWatch, Mobile Iron, etc. Or we can do this using your traditional agent-based management solutions like Configuration Manager. One thing that we haven't talked about is something that we're still working on. This last item is application update approval. Today, if an ISV adds an app into the store and then updates it after you've installed it, that update flows down to the device almost immediately. You really don't have any control over that. Imagine it's a more critical app that you're using for business functions and the update breaks something. So it's kind of the same idea of using WSUS to approve operating system updates. We want to provide a mechanism where you can approve application updates. So maybe you want to test it out on a machine or two, make sure the application update works properly, and then approve that application update to be deployed to the rest of your machines. The exact details of that, we're still working out exactly how that'll work, but that's our intent, is to provide that application update approval support. So with that, that's the basic overview of what we're doing with the mobile device management capabilities in Windows 10. It is still early in the process. We've released a preview initially. We released another one in October that updated it. We'll release another one here in a few weeks in November to add additional capabilities. But the things that we've been talking about, the business software portal, the Azure Active Directory join support, the AAD login, single sign-on capabilities, all of that's still a ways out. We've got a few months of additional development to do before those start to show up in the builds. So this is really just getting you ready for that. We would encourage everyone to try out the preview, to install it and start getting those builds as they're released, updated on a few machines so that you can try out these capabilities as they're being developed. With that, if there are any questions, I know I've asked in every session so far. If anyone has any questions, feel free to raise their hands and ask. And so far, no one has ever done that. So if you would prefer, you can always come up afterwards. But we'll take any questions that you have. Sure. So the question was, let's assume I downloaded an app from the business software portal and I installed it through what kind of looks like sideloading. Well, technically it's not sideloading, it's a signed app from the store, but ignoring that part, let's assume that it's offline and it can't get a license from the store. Will the app work? Most apps, we believe, should support that. Now, we may provide an option for an ISV to say whether or not this app can be used without getting a license from the store or not. So that might be something that they could opt out of. But by default, we would expect the application to work until it can get to the store to acquire a license. We're still talking about scenarios where that could be a permanence situation. If it's a man-in-the-cave submarine scenario where the machine just can never get to the internet, the app should be able to continue to run as well. So there may be some additional requirements to make sure that works, but certainly the goal is to support those offline use cases where there is no internet connectivity back to the store. Yeah, so the question was, if you put apps into your image, typically the apps are licensed, user-based. Can you make them machine-based, or would they be available to every user? Yeah, and you could certainly provision the apps into the image so that they would show up for every user. And we're still trying to work out the exact behaviors of that, because the typical behavior today would be each user who then logged in would install the app and acquire a license. That's okay in most cases where you've got single user machines, but in, let's say, a classroom where you're sharing PCs between 20 people, you don't necessarily want to acquire 20 licenses. Multiply that by 7 different groups of 20 that are using that throughout the day, and now you're up to 140 licenses for one machine and one app. So we are trying to figure out what's the best way to deal with those. Can we do any type of machine-based licensing instead? So still working on that, still trying to figure out what we can do there.
With you offline and then just credit your account with a whole bunch of licenses or something?
Yeah, so let's assume that you have a relationship with an ISV, you've worked out a deal with them for a particular application. Can they make that available to you? That's the basic gist of the question. Certainly you could do something like that. So imagine that you have, well, I guess we'll continue with the Evernote sample. Let's assume you work out a deal with Evernote where you want them to provide you 100,000 copies of the software to use on every machine in your organization. We're talking about a couple of scenarios to support that. One is they can offer discounting through the Windows Store, through the business software portal, so that as you increase the quantity, they can reduce the price. So that's one scenario that we're looking at. But additionally to that, there's nothing preventing them from using the B2B support to say, there's this public version of the app and it's $3.99 a copy, but we'll send you this other version that's free. We'll only make it available to your organization and you can deploy it to as many machines as you've agreed you would use it on. And basically they become it's a transaction between the two companies then. Is there the capability for Microsoft to remove an app from a machine? There's no mechanism to remove it, but there is a mechanism to revoke the license. So if it's an app that can't be used without a license available, then yes, we could disable that particular application. I can't think of any scenario where we would do that ourselves, but certainly using the business software portal, you could do that. You could revoke the license and the app would stop working. Now, if it's an offline-based scenario, then there's no license involved and there's nothing to revoke. So not really any way to do that in the offline scenario. But if it's an online machine talking to the internet, yeah, the license could be revoked. I don't think so. I've not actually looked at that scenario. The question was, well, can the company that published the app revoke the license for a particular app? I don't think they have that level of control. They can submit the app initially. They could pull the app from the store if they want, but if you've already installed it and you're already using it, they can't remove that license. It's a question farther back. So the question was, would there be PowerShell capabilities to manage the licenses in the store? The expectation is indirectly, sure. You may not see PowerShell commandlets specifically for that task, but there should be the types of APIs that could be called via PowerShell, whether they're web services or REST-based services or something like that. But basically, you could have PowerShell performing those actions. We would also expect that all of the MDM functionality that's made available can be invoked via PowerShell as well, leveraging a WMI bridge. So all of the MDM features on the client would be accessible via WMI. So PowerShell talks to WMI, WMI talks to the CSPs, the MDM pieces on the client to perform the particular action. So I think we'll be able to cover that through those exposed interfaces, but that doesn't mean that you would see a business software portal PowerShell commandlet. It would be more like a discoverable web service. Anything else? Okay, thanks for attending. If there are any other questions, I'll hang around up front, but thanks for attending and hope you had a good tech ed.